Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. To get this special offer, go to Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Ham Nation. That's Stamps.com. Enter Ham Nation. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for what you use, doesn't require a contract, and offers unlimited devices on one account. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com. That's hamnation.ting.com. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation episode number 126 for December 4th of 2013. Old Guys Rule.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bob Heil, K9EID, and we're fresh back from my trip to good old Jolly England, and we missed everybody. I was hoping to do this last week with you, but it just didn't work out. I had it all arranged, and wouldn't you know, it's very noisy in these places where we do these shows, of course, and I had it all worked out. And just at last minute, they decided they were going to have a party in that room, and I couldn't use it. So, okay, goodbye. I couldn't do it. I'm really sorry. Gordon, how are you doing? You're doing well, and you held the fort down last week. I appreciate that. How are you?
Oh, we're great, and your entire team helped the fort to keep right on cracking. And this weekend, you know, is the Skywarn Recognition Day on Friday and Saturday. HF, IRLP, Echolink, CW, they'll be on the air. Bad news from Oklahoma in that they're preparing for an ice storm. So they said that those of you that were going to the USS Oklahoma and USS Batfish stations, unfortunately, they won't be on the air because they'll be iced up, but they'll be coming back up on the air in June. And finally, Johnny Paul, WA5BGO. Everybody give him good wishes. He's undergoing some hospital stays right now. And Johnny Paul of the Austin Amateur Radio Supply, get well soon. So, Bob, that's my news at this end, and then we've got a lot more show and tell. And we're glad you're back, Bob. Back to you.
Well, It's good to be back. We had quite a trip of about 10 days. I have some pictures later on. We'll get into showing you what went on over there. George, thanks a lot for taking care of things and getting everything cooking while we were gone. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bob. Yeah, we missed you last week, but glad you're back with us this week, and all your flights were on time so you could be here today. It's been a nice week down here in Mississippi. It's probably 72 degrees right now. It's been kind of warm the last few days, but I think we have some of that cold weather headed this way from Oklahoma, so that should be here about this weekend. But got some fun stuff in the show tonight, and we'll be looking at that here shortly.
Okay, very good. And we now switch down to Mr. Don. Don, how are you doing? Good to see you.
Good to be seen. And, yeah, nice to have you back. You know, it was, I believe it was close to 80 degrees in New Orleans today. I wore shorts and a T-shirt to work today. And it was nice. I even had the top down on the car for a little while, but it's supposed to be about in the 50s on Saturday. And wouldn't you know it, the last week of the Louisiana Renaissance Festival, I'm planning on wearing my kilt to the Renaissance Fest on Saturday, so it might be a little bit cool. But hey, those Skywarn recognition things are cool. For several years, it's been a few years since I've done it, but several years I did the special event station from the Slidell, Louisiana National Weather Service office, just northeast of New Orleans, with the Ozone Amateur Radio Club crew. And man, I always have a lot of fun doing that. So if you can get out there and make some of those Skywarn recognition contacts, do so, because all the ops out there are really going to appreciate it. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, that's good. Well, I would like for Brian to bring off all of us up on the screen. You'll notice we all have on some very interesting T-shirts tonight, and they come to us from Laura, KC7LOK. She has a wonderful company called Hip Ham Shirts, and they're just great. She's made all these up for us. You'll see Cheryl after a while. She's got hers. May the sunspots be with you, Gordo. And let's see, George, what you have on your shirt. It's not just a good idea. It's the law. Well, that's super duper. And there you go. Antenna to ground, right?
Through the
Absolutely. Cloud.
That's great.
Martini glass with a twisty straw. That's what it is.
Well, we appreciate Laura doing this. And all of you should check out her website. And yeah, they're great gifts, but they're really nice shirts. That's what I liked about them is the quality of the shirt. She sent another one here. You know, a lot of these shirts are like, bleh, but the quality is terrific. And that's another one that she sent. And we'll see what Cheryl's got after a while. That'd be interesting. But you want to really pay attention to what's going on with her company. We'll talk about it a little later also. But she's got a lot of cool things, and there's the website on your screen for those of you watching. For the podcasters, why, it's Hip Ham Shirts. And check it out, because it's really a cool thing. And they have all types of other things, too. She sent a cup to us, and let's see, what is it? All, not all hams are created equal, which is true. You have to know some CW, she says at the bottom of this. But anyway, good things. Thanks a lot, Laura. We really appreciate that very, very much. Do we have a picture of Laura and Gordo floating around there, Brian? I thought one of those got sent to you. There she is. Aww. And look at that. Remember that, Gordo?
I do. Yeah, she is a sweetie, and we love her shirts, and we love her mugs as well. She sent us all down mugs, and mine says Got DX, and yep, we sure do.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks very much, Laura. We appreciate that so, so much. It's great. Well, we're gonna have a lot of things going on tonight, so stick around and call your buddies and have them dial us in if they haven't tuned in already. All you got to do is put Ham Nation into Google. You don't have to have all this other /.. All it is Ham Nation into Google, and it comes right up. And we're really excited about tonight because there's some really neat things happening. I must tell you also that next week I will be in the showroom of DX Engineering. I'm really looking forward to
that.
And, we'll talk about that. Yeah. I'm going to be there. I got my normal trip. I do this every year. Yeah, we actually do it on the way to Roger R&L's Manufactured Day in Hamilton, Ohio. But I'm going in much earlier this week because I'm going to spend Wednesday afternoon at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Got to go dust off the Ohio Sound display. And then we're going to head out to Talmadge and spend Wednesday night with all of you in the showroom with Tim Duffy and everybody at DX Engineering. And then Friday we'll be at Universal Electronics with Barbara, Fred, and all of the gang at Universal. Really great dealer in the Reynoldsburg area. We're really excited about that every year when we go there. Then I jump in the car, head to Dayton. We'll stop at the Dayton Christmas party at Hera for a couple of minutes, and then head off to Hamilton. So it's another crazy week for me next week, but that's okay. I can handle this. Well, let's get things rolling. And I think, George, you got a really nice session coming up. So let's head back down to warm Mississippi and see what George has got cooking tonight.
Well, Bob, actually, what I was hoping to cook tonight isn't quite done yet. I've been mentioning for several weeks that I was going to be building this two-tone oscillator, two-tone test generator from QRPKits.com. That's Hendrix Kits. And I've got started on it, but I needed a couple of more parts that did not arrive until this afternoon. So I decided to punt, and this is something I did recently. It's a simple little thing I've done before. Probably some of you have done something similar to this, but you know, there might be a few people who would get some ideas from seeing this little tip. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about something else just to kind of round out the segment there. So, Brian, excuse me, if you would, please roll the video. Today, I found myself in need of a gender changer. I was connecting up a serial cable to my rig, and the cable didn't have the right connectors on it. So, I got a couple of DB9 connectors here, and I connected them straight through pin 1 to 1 and likewise with all the rest of them. But I don't have a case to put this in, and I don't want it to jerk loose with usage. So I'm going to seal it up here and make me a case myself. I'll just use a little hot glue. Now you want to be careful that the glue is not so hot that your wire insulation won't take it. We'll let that cool for just a moment and flip it over and do the other side and just keep layering it up there until we've got a solid case over this. Turned out a little rough around the edges here. You can see where I layered on the glue, it didn't sit just right. Well, I'll just take my hot air gun here and we'll just reflow that glue. It's not only good for reflowing solder, looks like it'll work for reflowing glue as well. I'll be careful, don't want to get this so hot that we damage the connector or melt the insulation on the wires. It does get warm. Now we've given it a few minutes to cool here and looks good and solid now, so I won't have to worry about yanking that loose. It's just, you know, you use what you got, Gordo, and you never know what you're going to need. And this time, I didn't have what I need, which would have been a hood for that. But I did have a hot glue gun, and I wanted to finish that project right then. Well, you know, last week, we looked at Anderson Power Pole connectors, and I thought I would just follow up a little bit something similar to that. You know, before I knew about the Anderson Power Poles, these are the connectors that I always used right here, and I really like these. They, you know, they mate together quickly, and you can unplug them easily. I used to have these on all of my rigs. You can find them at the Hamfest with different gauges of wire. They're pretty good, too, and the thing I like about them is you've got contact all the way around the connector there. It's not just on one side like the Andersons, but I'm not going to say this is what you should go with. It seems that everybody's going with the Anderson Power Poles today, so I've started using them, and they've worked out okay for me so far. Now, you know, I crimped it, and I didn't really have the exact right crimping tool for it. I used what I had, which is, you know, sort of like a hot glue gun, but you couldn't hot glue on the Anderson. So I thought we'd look at a few crimp tools. I've got six different ones here that I've collected over the years. And, you know, when you've got connectors like this, the ring terminals where you crimp the wire in it or the spade lugs, you need some way to crimp those things together, or you could solder them, but they're really meant to be crimped. Here's a cheap pair of crimp connectors right here that I got free with something. I don't remember what it was. I would not have bought these, I don't think. They're pretty flimsy. They do have a wire stripper on them, and they've got a circle here where you could crimp something large, and it's got bolt cutters in it where you can stick a screw through there and clip it off. But here's the business end right here. This is where you crimp the connectors. And if you put a connector in there and you crimped it down, it's just more or less going to flatten it on the sides there. That's about all this one is good for. If it's all you got, though, use it. Now, here's one that's a little bit better. Now, this one's from a name brand. This is Panduit. It's got essentially the same things on it, several different sizes down here where you could crimp different things, as well as the bolt cutters. And then it's got the wire strippers for different gauges of wire here, and even some pliers on the end of it. But still, it just flattens them out. You know, it's not what I like to use. Now we're going to get a little closer, and this is the first pair of crimp connectors I ever bought. These are Blue Streak brand, and I bought these at an auto parts shop. And it's got the wire strippers in it. It's got a larger hole here for crimping something larger. It's got a wire cutters. And here's the crimping end right here. Now it's got a couple of round ones, but you'll notice on this bottom one right here, there's a little notch in there. And what it's going to do is when it crimps, one side is circular here. It holds the crimp lug in there. And the other side puts a little indention into it so that it's getting a little better crimp on the wire. Now, taking it even further than that, here's a pair that I got. I think I got these from MFJ, but you can see them at a lot of the Hamfest. It's a pair that's it's got two different sizes of those little indents in there so that one side of the crimp terminal remains circular. And then it puts a dimple in the back of it. And the way I like to do it, one side of your crimp terminal here, it's usually, if you're viewing it this way, it's the top side, has got a split in it. So I like to put that side on the round side of the crimper and then crimp the little dimple into the back of it. And you can even go further than that, though. Here is a pair here. These are ratchet-style crimp connectors. And really, the ratchet styles work better with Andersons, although I didn't have any that would fit Andersons. This pair right here was made for crimping RG59 or RG, what is it, 213, I think. No, not 213. Whatever the larger size, RG8, I believe. And then there's a smaller size here for doing RG58. And then on the very end here, there's a crimper for the pins that go in these crimp-on connectors. If you have to use a B and C connector, which, you know, a lot of occasions you will, I have quit using the solder-on type altogether. I'll use these crimp kind right here because they just seem to last a lot better. They're easier to put on. And the center pin, although you can crimp them with this connector or this crimping tool here, I'll generally solder on the center pin and then just crimp the outside here, and that holds together good because a BNC connector of the solder-on type is very hard to put on. And then probably my most expensive pair, which I never use anymore, this is a pair of amp crimpers. These are the ratchet style, too. These were very expensive, and you can get different dies to fit in here for different size of connectors. These are for real tiny pins like would go in a DB9 connector or something of the crimp-on style. I need to see about finding me some more dies for this. Maybe I can find some for this that'll work with the Anderson. So that's what I'm going to be on the lookout for. So I guess that's it for Crimp Connectors 101 here tonight. And I think we about filled out my time here. So let's go on over to Gordo and see what's going over in Costa Mesa.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about stamps. And, you know, we can start using our time more effectively with a company called Stamps.com. Now, use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it. You don't have to get them like ahead of time. And right now, you can do this from your radio room desk computer. They have a no-risk trial, free digital scale, and a $55 free postage offer for our Ham Nation members. Now, to learn more about this special offer, go to stamps.com after the show. Click on the microphone and enter Ham Nation. Now, you know, these days you can get almost everything on demand from your computer, like this podcast. You can view and listen whenever you want to in between working DX or looking up a rare call sign on your computer with at QRZ or checking propagation. So why are you still going to the post office during this holiday season for stamps to mail those foreign QSLs or stamps to mail priority envelopes and logs or standing in the holiday lines to buy stamps when you can get postage on demand right out of your home computer? Anything you could do at the post office other than waiting in line, you can now do right at your desk with stamps.com. This is official U.S. postage for any letter or package or foreign QSL card using your own computer and printer. You know, here at Radio School, we send out our instruction packages priority mail. They're over 13 ounces, and you know, when they're over 13, you got to go to the PO and have them bless them. Well, we send out our radio instructor packages with all sorts of different postal rates, so now we can do it right here at the house with stamps.com. No more post office visits. Stamps.com software helps us find the best way to send out our materials here at Radio School and lets us print the exact amount of postage needed. We can even check a certain box on the computer, lets our friendly postal carrier pick up our packages and priority mail right at the house. Now, Stamps.com for Ham Nation viewers and listeners has a 20% discount that they're going to give us on Priority Mail, 63% discount on Priority Mail Express packages, and this is over what you'd pay at the normal postal counter, and get an additional 18% off on first-class packages and 10% off on insurance. All of this or Ham Nation viewers. Susie and I have always registered the old-fashioned postage meter, and we resist that meter because of the long-term commitments, ink costs, repair costs. We're just a mom-and-pop organization, so now we can print postage right from our laptops or home computers at stamps.com. So check out the free trial offer stamps.com has for Ham Nation viewers and listeners. Go to stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Ham Nation. Stamps.com. Click on the mic and enter Ham Nation. Gordo here, and we'll miss seeing you down at the local post office during this holiday season thanks to Stamps.com. Wow. Now, before we go into short shots, I want to show you some of the items that should be on your give myself a gift. And that is Jim's Engraving has got these great signs that light up. And if you don't want a little sign, but you want a big mama sign, you tell Jim you want a big mama sign and he can do it and they light up. We're going to be talking all the way to Alaska very shortly. And our Alaska contact is no other than Eric Nichols, KL7AJ. He's going to arrange for a Santa visit as well as a live DX call and a great ham radio package for a loved one or yourself is The Opus of Amateur Radio Knowledge and Lore. It's a classic funny book, and you'll find it at your local ham radio dealers or at W5YI. Need a little alternating current when you next take off? Here's 4,000 watts peak, 2,000 average, comes from Harbor Freight, and they even give you a free little meter with it. We're going to be testing it out, and I'll let you know how it works next week. Oh, here's one to stay away from. Look at this. It's called the side socket. Little AC plug here, AC plug here. And you would think on the back you've got double plugs. Take a close look. Is this a piece of junk? This is plastic. This is the real AC one, but the other side is plastic. It doesn't do squat. So I would maybe stay away from this particular product. Heil microphones. Now you can go wireless. Bluetooth, brand new from Bob, the PR22 with Bluetooth capabilities. Finally, he's got a new headset, and I love this one. Nice highs and great lows. And finally, for those of you going to Quartzsite, Arizona, for our AM Midnight Broadcast Band DXing, the C Crane Radio, a whole series of great radios is a great way to go. So, Brian, if you want to go ahead and let's take a look at some short shots. And this is this past weekend where we worked, many of you, on the beach where we were on 10 meters. And just go ahead and roll right through them, Brian, one after another one. And that's Chip K7JA setting up his homebrew 10-meter beam. So if you worked us, that's the beam that we worked. We put it on military mast, and we got it up about 30 feet. And we had a special T-match. The ballon is on the right side, and the T-match, which shorts out, gives us a nice 50-ohm match in the center. Here we are putting up the military mast. It went up to about 30 feet, and we were on the air in about 15 minutes. A little battery kept us on the air. Great style. And for rotation, there he is, Gordo, the automatic rotator. More left, more light. The band was open all over the place on 10 meters. That's George in 6VNI, and George and Kristen were there, and this is it. That's the oil getting ready for the turkey on the beach. Not us, but a turkey we would eat. Once we got things up and boiling, we dropped the turkey in. That's Chip and Janet, KL7MF, there we go, and Chip dropping the turkey. And as soon as we dropped it in, the police come over and they go, "What are you doing?" Well, we explained to them everything is fine. And Chip had a big smile, and the cops went away. And he also showed us the latest in some of the apps for his superphone, checking out the DX. And here it is, the turkey coming out of the brew machine. And it was done just great. So on the sand down at Bolsa Chica State Beach is where you worked us. And many of the Ham Nation stations on 10 meters. And here we are loading up for a great day on the sand. And, of course, after we're finished, we had a nice little fireplace fire. And the logbook, we had well over 100 contacts just on the 10-meter band. So be sure and send in those QSLs for your Ham Nation 10-meter contacts. And then the band opened to Japan, and we worked stations there. But, you know, the sand just doesn't stop at the ocean. It goes all the way to Quartzsite. And Chris and Angel invite you to come to Quartzsite, Arizona, the third full week in January. You park anywhere in Quartzsite on the hard-packed sand, and there's no facilities other than great hams. You put up your own antennas, put out your solar panels. You got to be self-contained. And there's our home station, our special event station, and it's on the air throughout all of the one-week operation down at Quartzsite, Arizona. And new hams, old hams, any kind of hams, pretty hams like this ham, are on the air with a special event station. That's Bayan talking all about DFing. And there's Dick operating on one of the HF radios, courtesy of ICOM America. A lot of show and tell. George, there are your crimpers getting some crimp action. But no talking heads, all show and tell. ARRL is there. And there they are talking about some of the legislation the league is coming out with. We have a Wi-Fi shootout contest, 2.4 gigahertz. Who can make the furthest Wi-Fi communications? We have battery maintenance, talking about batteries. We have all sorts of seminars all the 5 to 6 to 7 days. Everybody's got to check out the very latest that Bill has brought. And, of course, it's also the VHF-UHF contest weekend, that first Saturday and Sunday of Quartzsite. So you'll find us on 6 meters and 2 meters and the 440 band from the comm band. So bring a lot of firewood, because we do have firewood at night. We have a swap meet on that last Saturday. All this is called Quartz Fest, and you'll find out more by going to quartzfest.org and taking a look and seeing what we see at night. And those are the stars at night that you could never see anywhere else but clear as a bell in Quartzsite, Arizona. So that's your spin on the beach and the sand, both on the beach as well as in Quartzsite. And we'll give you more product reviews and more neat things that we're looking at for what Santa will bring. And remember, on our last podcast before the Christmas time, we're going to have Eric Nichols meeting up with Santa Claus at the North Pole. And Eric will be on the air live and direct right after our cast. So if you need Alaska, KL7AJ, I think that's his call, he'll be on the air. So back to you, Bob, and that was your tour of the sand out here.
All right. Well, you always have a good time on Thanksgiving. I know we had a great time when Sarah and I have been there a couple of times. That was super. And being able to work the DX, what was amazing to me, Gordo, is when you you put up the antenna, it was like ho-hum until you took that wire and carried it down and dropped it in the ocean. Oh, my goodness. It all comes alive, don't it?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And hey, yep, when you and I are out doing things together, Gordo, don't we, you and I use these for crimpers? Isn't this what we use? This and what's all this fancy stuff that Gordo, that George has got?
No,
isn't this, is what you and I are using?
I used just a pair of long nose pliers, but nonetheless, I think that would work as well.
No, I think you guys could do better. I think you could do better than that.
A real man just uses his teeth. You know that, right?
No, Don, that's for stripping wire.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole different thing. Let's not bring my kilt into this.
Yeah, okay. We're not going to ask you what's under that. So let's not start that one because, oh, my goodness. Well, that's the way it goes. Okay.
Short.
I lost my Google Doc. I don't know what happened here. It just died in the middle of the thing. So, is it time for me to run my my notes from London? What about that, George?
Yes,
roll
it's fun time with Bob.
Okay,
coming up right now.
Well, we had a great time. We went there for not for just fooling around, but we did some music shows while we were there. And while we were there, though, I thought it'd be fun to see a couple of other things. We've been there many, many times, but we took Ashley and Michelle with us. That's Sarah's son. And Michelle works for the company. She does all the art stuff, so she was actually working at the show. But let's run through some of these slides that that we took. That, as you probably can recognize, is Abbey Way. And the Abbey Lane has this Abbey Way, and you can all go there and get your picture taken, whatever. And I was really lucky that we found a man that would, that's actually a video, but we stop framed that. But that's the Abbey Studios. That was the Symphony's truck back there unloading. Then we went to platform 9 3/4. For all of you Harry Potter fans, they have this set up where they actually did the movie in this train station, and they did this little thing, and you can go do this, and we have our picture taken. And of course, when you go to England, you see these beautiful telephone booths, and they're still working, by the way. Cell phones have not deleted the wonderful telephone booth. I always have fun. There are Sarah and I at the entrance to Abbey Road Studios. Very, very famous place. I was wanting to go in and take some pictures, but we couldn't because the symphony was recording that day. So when they're there, when people are recording, you can't do that. Went to Kensington Palace. This is where Diana lived, and almost every one of the emperors lived during all of the wonderful early times. And they have great displays there, and I borrowed that coat for a picture. It makes you feel real special, Gordo. And there's the entrance to Kensington Palace. And the day we were there, William and Kate were moving in. That's their new home. They've been all summer building a little addition on the back so they can have their private quarters, but it's a lovely place. And this is Buckingham Palace, the entrance gates to it. And I always enjoy going and watching not just the changing of the guards, but the procession that happens before it. And you can actually go up. This is St. James Palace, and you can actually walk up. And you can talk to him, do whatever, but you can't touch him. But let me tell you, you cannot make him smile or anything else. Not that we did, but wanted to get our picture taken for Ham Nation. And then Michelle is a very big Doctor Who fan. So we got on a train, rode about 2.5 hours, and went over and got to tour the set on the BBC set there that they actually do Doctor Who in. So I'm sure there's some Doctor Who fans. There's one of the days at one of the trade shows that we were at. And it's always very busy at the Heil Sound booth, and we very much enjoy seeing our friends over there. That's the Emirates Stadium where the Arsenal team plays. They're growing grass. Yes, those are grow lights, and they move very slowly, look like an irrigation thing, and they actually are using those grow lights to help grow that grass. I just found that amazing. And, of course, they weren't playing that day while the trade show was going on. Those are just a few things we did while we were there, and we're just so thrilled to be able to have a lot of fans from the UK. I was amazed that how many that came to me that not only do they watch Ham Nation, but they know about Leo Laporte and the Twit Network. I mean, they're rattling off all these programs and stuff, and so they do watch the network, and a lot of fans in the UK for Ham Nation. So we appreciate all of those guys, and really had a great time while we were there. And I'm gonna do a T-shirt here. When I come back on, I'll have it. It was very special by Waters and Stanton. There, our distributors gave me this T-shirt, so I was very very thrilled to get it. So I'll have to model it for you in a minute. It's pretty cool. So we might have a question that Cheryl might be able to have, and then we'll have the chat room answer it. So I have to get prepared. Okay, so I'm not sure who goes from here because I lost my Google Doc. So whoever, why let it happen, and we'll go change our attire and be back in a moment.
And Don is up next. But, Bob, I wanted to ask you, that guard at Buckingham Palace, was that a Howl windscreen on his head?
No, it was not. I was very aware that it could have been, but it's too big. So what can I tell you?
Okay. Well, Don, what's in the news this week?
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1894, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, December 4th, 2013. More than 3 weeks since Typhoon Haiyan laid waste to many parts of the Philippines, much of that nation's telecommunications infrastructure is still not operational. Ham radio operators continue to be a primary information conduit into and out of storm-stricken areas. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, has the latest on this continuing story.
PARA's Vice Chief Operating Officer is Raymond Anquillin, DU1UGZ. He reports that in some areas, mobile phone service is now available, but it is patchy and unreliable. The same is true with electric mains power. DU1UGZ says that he knew that amateur radio emergency communications was effective, and the results saw many tearful moments when local people were able to get their message through to loved ones elsewhere. Meanwhile, Hero Stations have worked with the National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council, the National Telecommunications Commission, communities and non-government organizations. The frequency of 7.095 MHz and several others are still in use, and PARA thanks the world's ham radio community for keeping them clear for emergency traffic. A very good job continues to be done by a group of truly dedicated ham radio volunteers.
It appears as if ham radio assistance in the aftermath of this killer typhoon will be ongoing for some time to come. D-Star on HF experimentation continues. More from Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Kent Hufford, KQ4KK, reports that the International D-Star HF testing net is continuing in North America with its just-issued winter schedule. Net sponsors say that they routinely have two-way communications coast to coast, north to south, and have had two-way contacts to Europe and Japan. The net is on each band only for 5 minutes and will spend less time if a given band is dead. The net may also need to move early or if the frequency is busy. It's also wise for D-Star operators to monitor reflector REF030C to coordinate. Also, please keep an eye on hf.dstar-relay.net for the latest information.
Mike Zuma Victor, KQ4KK, try it again.
KQ4KK, Kilo Girl 6, Mike Zuma Victor, 5 in California.
Roger, KG6, Mike Zulu Victor, KQ4KK, you're 5'9 into Aiken, South Carolina, over.
Roger, KQ4KK.
That's all there is to it. See you on the HF bands on D-Star.
To find out more, just look for Kent's video on YouTube. Type D-Star HFDV in the YouTube search bar. In DX, two more operations have been approved by the ARRL Awards Desk for DXCC credit.
These are the current 2013 through May 2014 operations of ZS-8C and ZS-8Z from Prince Edward and Marion Islands. If your request for DXCC credit for these operations has been rejected in an earlier filing, please contact Bill Moore, NC1L, at ARRL headquarters to be placed on the list for an update to your record. His email is bmoore@arrl.org. Bill notes that two student hams are expected to join this operation upon completion of their licensing, which will make it four operators. NC1L says he will update this approval when he has more information.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. See, George, if you had the Heil pop filter up on your head, this is what you would look like. This is cool. This is the South Mississippi version of the beef eater. So
you kind of remind me of SpongeBob.
Well, I've been called
Sponge
worse, I think.
Don.
Probably
Sponge
just today.
Don.
Yeah. Right, well, enough of that BS. Let's get into the no BS zone and talk about Ting. Ting is a no BS mobile service. They're what you call an MVNO. Now, that's a fancy way of saying that they resell the nationwide Sprint network. And Sprint's a pretty good company. So, you're getting good service with Ting. Ting is different because they have no contracts and no early termination fees. They're truly and completely contract free. If you're paying an early termination fee to come to Ting, they'll help you out with that. They will give you a credit for 25% of your early termination fee up to $75 per device. You just purchase your device through Ting. You port your number, submit the final bill with your ETF detailed from your previous carrier. Ting.com/ETF will give you all the information you need on that. Also, there's no bundling or ride-along services. The rates range from extra small through double extra large service levels. Those are for voice minutes, text messages, and megabytes of data, and it's all billed separately. The other guys charge you if you go over your allocated minutes or text or data. Not so with Ting. If you have a heavier month with Ting, you just pay for what you used. It's easy. No BS that way. Your voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspot, three-way calling, call forwarding, other features, they're all part of the service. No add-on charges. You are charged for what you use, plus whatever taxes they are legally required to collect. And that's it. No hidden charges, no line item, nothing of that. No recovery fees, none of that other BS. Truly unlimited devices on one plan. You can have as many devices as you want on one plan. If you've got a company and you need 600 phones, 600 phones, you can get that. If you just want one device, that's fine too. It's all there on one plan, shared pooled minutes, messages, and megabytes. Each device on a plan costs a flat $6 a month. Also, you can take total control of your account. I don't know if you have 600 devices. I just pull that number out of the hat, but a bunch, unlimited for the most part. Take control of your account, your usage, your bills with a powerful online control panel. And if you need to talk to someone, the number is 855-TING-FTW. Think about that. 855-TING for the win. You can call anytime, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and a real live actual human being will pick up the phone and talk to you. Help.ting.com for excellent customer support forums, a simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, startup guides, everything you need right there at help.ting.com. Here's how it works. You purchase your mobile device from Ting. You'll get that typically 2 to 5 business days. Or you can bring over your favorite Sprint phone to Ting, like the iPhone 4 or 4S. Check out the full list of eligible phones by going to the special URL, clicking on the BYOD link at the top of the page. Ting will even help turn your old device into cash and help you with the move to Ting. After you activate your device with Ting, you have the option to select a new phone number or port your existing one. They'll break out your rates by minutes, text messages, and megabytes, and bill you at the end of the month for what you've used. Simple. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to visit Ting today. Special website, hamnation.ting.com. I'll give you that again, hamnation.ting.com. You will save money. You will better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out the savings calculator. You will see exactly how much you or your company can save. Ham Nation viewers, you get $25 off your first Ting device when you sign up. So visit hamnation.ting.com and start saving today. And Ting, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about DX Engineering. And Bob, I believe you're going to be over there, right? You mentioned that earlier.
Yes, I'm there next week. We're going to be with Tim Duffy and all the guys. I'm really looking forward to that. So we'll be broadcasting live from their place of business there in Talmadge, Ohio. So I'm looking forward to that. They've got a brand new showroom. So we should have a lot of fun, and we'll see how it all goes. Tim's got it all set up for us, so you know it's going to be good if Tim Duffy did it. Where'd you go, Don? Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
I like the shirt, Bob.
Well, I got a question for you guys, if you can see it. What does this shirt have to do with Heil Sound? Uh-huh. There's a lot going on here. There's one answer, and it's three letters.
Ooh, I know.
So we're going to see if the chat room can come up with the answer to this one. It's old guy's rule, but what about it? There's a lot going on there, and you probably know what it is. So there you go. All right. Did we lose Don? Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I guess we did lose Don, but it's time for Dale now, and we're going to find out what videos he's brought us this week from our viewers, as well as the ham website of the week. Dale.
Okay. Well, very good, George. Thank you very much. And we'd like to say thank you to Laura at hiphamshirts.com also for the fantastic hoodie here that she sent us last week. It's going to come in handy tomorrow, George and Bob, as we get down to 11 degrees tonight.
Ooh.
And only up to 21 tomorrow here on the Yellow Brick Road. And it looks like we're going to have northwest winds at 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up higher. So we're going to put this to use, maybe put the hood on tomorrow and try to keep a little warmer. So we visited Laura's website, too, and found all kinds of really neat items for all hams. And guess what? Christmas is exactly 3 weeks away from tonight, something like that. Okay, well, welcome to the Ham Nation video segment. We've got two nice videos and our monthly Show Me Your Shack compilation of viewer photos this evening. So we're going to jump right in. Our first video comes from Chris Matthews. He's KF7WRS. He was the producer of the popular Doug Tenna video a few months back. Remember the fir tree antenna? Tonight, he shows you how easy it is to build a 2-meter Moxon antenna.
So I decided to make a 2-meter Moxon rectangle. Got a hold of the rectangle generator software online and managed to find a radiation pattern as well. I put together some materials, including 3/16-inch round bar, an old broom handle, a millimeter ruler, some old tubing, and, of course, a lucky ICOM hat. I also had a millimeter square, which helped to keep all my measurements quite precise. I got a hold of the Dremel to cut off a little bit of the excess, and then you can see the completed reflector element. Now on to the radiated or driven element, which you can see here. It's then cut in half, so the feed point is at the center. All of these pieces have to be joined together, and I use some old tubing to do that. And once I get that mounted on the broom handle, you can see the completed Moxon. Painted red, ICOM red, of course. I mounted it to the top of the buddy pole mast, and have had great performance with it for the past couple weeks. Thanks for watching.
Well, thank you, Chris, and we look forward to seeing more videos from you in the future. Well, with the Ham Nation Santa tracking operation coming up and a number of new hams at the crew of ABC's Last Man Standing, we've got a lot of viewer photos this month, and let's take a look together. This is Show Me Your Shack, a compilation of shack photos received during the past month. Eric Nichols, KL7AJ, lives at North Pole, Alaska, and this is his shack. This is his main shack, and you'll get a chance to work him there and to track Santa during Christmas week. Stay tuned to Ham Nation each week in December for the details. Here's Eric's vintage gear. Congratulations are in order now for the new hams on the crew of ABC's comedy hit Last Man Standing. This is Dalton Young. He's now KK6HUJ. Here's Daniel Ryan with Last Man Standing co-producer John Amadeo. Daniel is the new KK6HUP. Congratulations also go out to Laura King. She just upgraded to General and received the K6MIX call. And to Mark Maitland, his new call is KK6HUM. And here's Tim Clark. He's now KK6HUL. Congratulations to all the crew members who passed their exams, thanks to the hard work of their Elmers and volunteer examiners. Examiners for the testing session were Naomi Goodkin, WB6OHW, Norm Goodkin, K6YXH, and Rob Antonasi, AA6RA. And speaking of Last Man Standing, here's KA0XXT, Mike Baxter, showing his grandson Flynn his amateur radio as the two hide out from Thanksgiving visitors upstairs. Here, Mike, a.k.a. Tim Allen, delivers a video blog for Flynn on the Thanksgiving episode of Last Man Standing. Randy, K7AGE, sent us this picture of a screwdriver antenna. He reported that one of the local guys brought it with him for coffee during the past week. And speaking of Randy, here he is with his dad, W2ELX, and Link Kendall, W2QY, during a VHF contest back in 1957. The black rig on the left is a home-built 100-watt 2-meter AM transmitter. And Link gave Randy his test about 10 years after this picture was taken. The rest is on YouTube. Zelko 9A6ST sent us this photo of his shack in Croatia. We love to receive pictures from hams in the rapidly growing international Ham Nation audience. John Duty, KK4LST, the secretary of the Wiregrass Amateur Radio Club in Dothan, Alabama, sent us this picture of his shack with the new mixer and speakers he's installed after watching Bob's presentation here on Ham Nation. Eric Boyle, N0YET, in Salina, Kansas, shares his ham shack with his daughter, Catherine. Her call is KD0OWZ. Eric loves to operate on 160 meters and enjoys contests on that band. The high-voltage capacitor in the photo is used to feed his tower. He did bury a dozen 120-foot quarter-wave radios and a half-dozen 60-foot radios. He said it took quite a while. And here's a photo of the two wires running up the side of his tower, which gives him more bandwidth there on 160. You can also see the red and green fluorescent bulb, which creates a great effect this Christmas season. Jeff Vitti, KE5ZDU, sent us this picture of his shack in Kingston, Oklahoma. He says he's hunting and fishing for new contacts. Jake Bechtold, KD0TGA, sent us two photos of his new mobile rig, an ICOM ID880H D-Star radio. He uses a Lido mount to hold the remote head of the 880H. Jake said the only hole he needed to drill in his Ford Escape was to run the power from the battery through the firewall. Well, we must wrap up this episode of Show Me Your Shack by saying a goodbye to Rooster. He's the pack goat and trail buddy of Steve, WG0AT during remote operations. The 225-pound goat made famous on Steve's YouTube Goat Hiker channel died unexpectedly recently. His ashes will be spread over hundreds of mountain trails that he hiked with Steve during the past 8 years.
Wow.
R.I.P. Rooster. And on that sad note, we wrap up another edition of Shack Photos. Make sure to send your Shack Photos and video links to HamNationVideos at TWIT.TV. And please visit HamNationVideos.info for guidelines. Well, please do send your favorite Shack Photos to us. If you do, we'll try to get them on the very next Show Me Your Shack compilation, tentatively scheduled now to air on Wednesday, January 8th. That would be 2014 already. Well, Brian, let's take a look now at our club website of the week, featuring the Stones River Amateur Radio Club in Laverne, Tennessee. The site was nominated by Adam Robertson, and it has a resource section accessible from a link on the left-hand column that will be useful to almost any ham. In the meantime, if you'd like to see your club website spotlighted here on Ham Nation, just send the URL to HamNationVideos at TWIT.TV. Please do include a paragraph, if you will, that tells us why you think the site should be the Ham Nation website of the week. Don't forget you can check out all of the club website of the weeks featured here at hamnationvideos.info. Well, we'll wrap up tonight's videos with a visit to the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club and their 2013 Hamfest last month. The videos courtesy of Dan, N9LVS. Let's watch.
The Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club Hamfest was held November 3rd, 2013 at the Monarch Gardens in Appleton, Wisconsin. When you enter the doors of the Hamfest, you'll meet Karen, WB9ZNA, and Lori, KC9SCO. We had a few commercial vendors at the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club Hamfest. From Sheboygan, Wisconsin, we had the Adapter Guys at AdapterGuys.com. They showed up with every RF adapter that you'd ever need. Everything from PL259s to SMAs. And from Fremont, Wisconsin, Wolfer Recoils. WolferRecoils.com with their complete line of antenna coils. The ARRL stopped in with new section manager Gary Sorensen, W9ULK. You could find every cable imaginable, and some you wouldn't even think of. From the very small to the excessively large cable could be found. Even some heliacs for those running QRP or QRO. There was also an Atlas 210X, complete with digital frequency counter and Turner desk mic. You also could find a pile of Morse code keys of every shape and size imaginable. There was also a very nice little Morse code kit recorded on 78 records with 10 easy lessons that could get your code speed up to 15 words a minute. Who says code is dead? And Little Frog had all kinds of old test equipment, from oscilloscopes to multimeters. And also George Thomas showed up via Skype. There was a group of about 20 to 30 people that showed up for the forum where George talked about Ham Nation and amateur logic. He also did some question and answer with the group. And that's the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club Ham Fest. We all had a great time. Hope to see you next year.
Well, thanks, Dan, and hope you'll keep those videos coming. And we thank you for all the work you do on the Ham Nation Videos Info website. I'll tell you what, while you're there voting for the Ham Choice Awards, make sure to take a look at the new link we put in the Don't section. We found a video courtesy of Facebook or on Facebook that is an absolute riot. You'll want to take a look and check it out. It's in the Don't section on the website. Well, voting for the Ham's Choice Award for videos submitted during November is now underway. We'll keep the voting open until midnight Tuesday, December 17th, and we'll be announcing the winner on December 18th, just the week before Christmas. The videographer who receives the most votes will receive a nice prize from Mark Breckheisen, KB0MOF of the Ham Radio Center in Derby. We appreciate Mark sponsoring the Ham's Choice Awards. Well, we'd love to show your photos and videos here on Ham Nation. And if you can send them in, send a link to us or email your photos to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. We'll get them on the air for you. And last week, we had a special request from ICOM's Ray Novak for more videos featuring emergency communications. Or he'd also like to see neighborhood watch teams that are using amateur radio. Well, if you have a video like that, get it into us, and we'll be sure to get it on the air. Well, that's 30 for the video segment, and Cheryl will have the latest from the chat room soon. But first, let's check out the latest from ICOM.
Looking for the perfect present for that special someone? ICOM's got you covered. Go to icomamerica.com/amateur and click on the Holiday Instant Savings button to receive extra holiday savings through December 31st of 2013. Here are a few of the special savings and some incredible bargains. IC2300H, the rugged Mill Standard 810G spec VHF transceiver with 65 watts of stable output. IC92AD, tough submersible construction and a VHF UHF handy talkie with built-in D-Star capability. IC7100, the new multi-band all-mode HF VHF UHF mobile with touchscreen operation and D-Star capability on all bands. IC7200, a simple and tough HF rig with IFDSP and a rugged design perfect for indoor or outdoor use. IC7410, enjoy higher performance in everyday HF communications with exceptional double conversion super heterodyne receiver and faster IFDSP. IC9100, the all-around high performance transceiver with everything the IC7410 has, plus VHF and UHF, and available D-Star and 1200 megahertz options. IC7600, the HF transceiver with dual receivers, IFDSP, color TFT display, and dedicated DSP spectrum scope. IC7700, the premium 200-watt HF transceiver with every single high-end feature you could dream of, and more. ID51A, the new VHF-UHF dual-band handheld with built-in D-Star and GPS standard. And don't forget about the ICOM Buy Direct program for D-Star repeaters and the great closeout deals on the IC80AD handheld. Go to icomamerica.com/amateur and click on the Holiday Instant Savings button to receive extra holiday savings through December 31st of 2013.
And some great holiday deals there from ICOM. And in our contest, you know, for November, ICOM was giving away an IC51A. And we had a winner on that. It's going to be Kim Smith, KA6KIW. Congratulations, Kim. I understand that radio shipped your way today. So be looking for it. That'll be a nice Christmas present. And speaking of Christmas presents, you know, after every episode of Ham Nation, you can register to win at icomamerica.com/hamnation, and you might receive a weekly swag prize, but we also have a grand prize each month, and this month it's going to be the ICOM IC92AD. It's a 5-watt dual-watch VHF UHF handheld with D-Star and rugged submersible construction, and you can add the optional GPS speaker mic, and it's got some exceptional GPS functions to it. So visit icomamerica.com/hamnation today and throw your name in the hat. Now, I forgot to give away the normal smoke and solder prizes a little earlier, so let's do that real quick. You know, last week I asked the question, what radio was featured in the Thanksgiving episode of Last Man Standing? And we had a winner on that, and that was Roy, KK4CCL, and he said the IC7700 was used in the Thanksgiving episode of Last Man Standing. Congratulations, Roy. You're going to win this 24-hour clock courtesy of MFJ. And for next week, I've got a special prize here, and you're going to take the headphones right off of my head. That's right. Solder Claus is going to be giving away a pair of Heil Pro Set 3s. A nice set of hits. Very nice. You know, it's It's got some features like you can fold them up real small. You can bend the headband any way you want it. The connector on it has got a twist lock on it, and it comes with several different cables. But one thing I noticed about these that no one has said anything about yet, and that's in the headband right here on the inside. You know, I've had some problems with other headsets that this is usually some kind of rubber or vinyl in here. It's a real, real smooth stuff in there, and it feels nice on your head. But the problem is the oil from your hair causes that stuff to disintegrate, and you end up with black stuff all over your head. These are not that way. This is some type of fabric in here, so you're not going to have to worry about that problem. But if you think that a solder claw should bring you a pair of Heil ProSet 3s, then answer this question. Why should George send you a set of Heil ProSet 3s? And get creative on it. Send me your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and somebody's going to take these home. Right now, let's go check with Cheryl and see what's in the chat room.
Hey there. That was great, Solder Claws. We'll be there. Hi. Hey, love being here. It's just a great thing tonight. I'm so excited. There's many, many different things I want to talk about. And first off, the shirt that I'm wearing tonight says, not all hams are created equal. Some know CW. So this looks like this coffee cup. This is the matching coffee cup right here. This is the same thing that's on my shirt. And there it is, sort of straight, I hope. But I just wanted to say thank you to Laura for sending those great items along, long sleeves. And that's hiphopshirts.com. Thank you, Laura, very, very much. And secondly, I really need you to take note of the beautiful display that's on the backdrop that you've seen before, but there's something new. What is it, you say? It is the ICOM 7800's firmware upgrade. Take a look at it. You've got the waterfall, and you see my voice just trickling along, or actually that's from the radio. I'm talking to you on Skype, so that's not my voice. That's not accurate. But there's many other different things with the firmware upgrade, and you just go to the ICOM America website and go under ICOM 7800 and the upgrades, and it's free for anybody who wants to get the upgrade for their ICOM 7800. I thought you might want to know about it. Please read the instructions. It's critical so that you get it right the first time. That's all you want to do, and it just runs like smooth right out of the box. So there you have it, the ICOM 7800 firmware upgrade, folks. So go on to the website and get it for yourself. Now, I also have a few announcements. And one is we want to say a big hello to Tucker tonight, KK4UNZ. Nice job. He's a young teen who got his general class already about a month and a half ago and soon to have his extra class. We know this is his first evening watching Ham Nation. We welcome him here and hope that he'll check out the many pre-recorded shows so he can add to his repertoire of knowledge that he'll be bringing on and carrying forth as the years pile up. So I really want to welcome him and say a big congratulations to you, Tucker, and thanks for joining us. Okay, there's another thing that I wanted to make mention of here that's very critical, I feel. It came in via email to me from Cherry Crabtree. His call sign is KD8UWF of Terra. That's the Tri-State Amateur Radio Association. He'll be hosting a special event station this Saturday, December 7th, to commemorate Pearl Harbor Day and to remember the attack and damage done to the U.S. West Virginia. He'll also be honoring the memory of club member Mike Lewis, he's a silent key, KB8NPY, who originated the event and who passed this summer. And the event will be originating from the club shack inside the Museum of Radio and Technology in Huntington, West Virginia. And he'll be using the club call sign, write this one down, Whiskey 8 Virginia America, or Whiskey 8 VA. The event will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. his time. I'm sure that's East Coast time, with two stations running in the general class portion of 40 and 20 meters. And certificates and QSL cards will be available for those who want to participate. I think it's a really worthwhile thing to do, so I thought I might bring that up for you guys. So what I want to say is, of course, welcome back, Bob, from England. And Sarah, hello to you. And Gordo, you know, we had someone in the chat room. He had this comment I just thought you'd just love. KC9DRE, Dave, he says, at least Gordo didn't fry the turkey with a CW key pickle style. You didn't do that? I thought that was so cute. So, you know, and then, you know, you were at that Huntington Beach and you were doing all this great stuff. I had no idea you were the roader for the beam there, Gordo, but it was really a great, great information there. And I really want to know, you said that we had a booming signal from northeastern Illinois to you at the beach with, you know, you were there with your buddy Chip and George. So how was my signal with David versus all the others on the air? I'm just curious, all the way to California from northeastern Illinois on 10 meters. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, your signal was outrageous. In fact, we even worked you when we were mobile out of the black station wagon on our way there. So best signal goes to both of you.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you letting us know that via email. And KD0COR for you, Gordo, he says, was that a hex beam that was in your first pick? I didn't catch the very first pick of tonight's portion for you. So was that a hex beam, Gordo?
The hex beam is what we use for quartzite. So if that's the one you were looking at, yes, that was the hex beam. And what we used down at the beach was Chip Margelli's three-element homebrew beam.
Okay, then. And I'm going to have to just keep on hitting up on you because you seem to wear this star sweater tonight that looks so great on you. I just love that. Gordo, do most HF rigs have an adjustable ALC and SWR Pro POTS for adjusting power output levels? Can you tell us about that?
All right. Now, this is a good one. Many of the older rigs indeed had the SWR protection pot inside the radio. And if you had a slightly elevated SWR, but you knew the rig was only going to be used now and then for transmitting briefly, you could actually turn it down so it would put out more power, even though your SWR was maybe 1.5 to 1. The brand new rigs these days now have automatic limiting control that may be set. And that's unfortunate because if it's set, you can't go in there and reduce the ALC to up your power output to get you back to factory specs. And there's a couple of rigs out there that have a very aggressive ALC action. You'd say, well, if I could just turn it down, then on my normal conversation, I'd be able to get up to 100 watts. Well, unfortunately, it is set. So if you have an older rig and you want a little bit more power out and you promise to protect those finals, then take a look at ALC and turn it slightly down, making sure that you're watching the meter, that you still have ALC action as you talk or as you do digital. And for SWR protection, if you're at about 1.5 to 1, certainly you can turn that down slightly and you'll see your power go from about 60 watts on peak up to about 80 or 90. No one will hear the difference on the air, but it makes you feel better that you got a great signal on the older rigs.
Thank you very much for those answers there, Gordo. Terrific. And one last question for you before I move on to Bob. I really can't wait to see his new shirt he's going to model for us. So anyhow, this question came from Mr. Scott Wellington, KJ6QIQ. Nice call sign. He wants to know how to choose one radio over another, such as the ICOM 7200 maybe versus the ICOM 7410. Can you shed some light on that, Gordo?
Well, we always recommend play with the radio live and direct. If there's a local dealer near you, go to the dealer, and most dealers have their radios hooked up so you can actually play with them. You can look at the specs and you can do all of the searching on the web, but nothing beats getting right down to that radio and looking at the display, listening to the audio, doing the passband tuning. So if you don't have a dealer near you, find a local ham club and then ask, hey, who's got one of the ICOM, and give them the model numbers, and they'll say, come on over, play with their radio, and it'll help you make the right decision for the rig just for you.
Thank you very much. And so nice to see you tonight. Good job on your section there, Gordo. Love it. And I'd like to move over to you, George, if you are got your ears on, Mr. Solder Claus. Love that. Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about this situation? Andy, N2FYE, he says, the support rope for my dipole seems to be stuck. Must have cut into the tree branch over the past year or years. I'm not willing to climb the tree. How do I free the rope? George, any ideas?
Maybe train squirrels. you know, I'm not sure. I would just try jerking on it some. If you can get the other end loose, you know, maybe where you can can pull it like that. Maybe some luck, but, gee, that's a tough one. If it's grown into the tree, you may just be looking at getting the slingshot out and shooting a new line.
Yeah, right.
Well, there
what
you
go. What do you say, Gordo?
Yeah, I agree, George.
You know, I have to just add that K9LPK over here was saying, you know what, if he tied a rock on the end of a rope and then threw it over there and then kind of went back and forth, maybe it could free if he used some weight on the end and tugging on the other back and forth. Yeah. That's the only other thing. Otherwise, you might just have to climb the tree. Who knows? I'm just thought that was kind of a cute little question there. And you know, one last quick thing, if you could just do a brief synopsis on why you would pick a wire antenna versus a vertical from Kenny Johns, AB4EG, asked that question. So any thoughts on that? George?
Use a wire antenna in a horizontal configuration if you want to talk in, especially close in, or maybe around the U.S. But if you want to go a long distance, use a vertical, and it's going to give you a higher angle of radiation. And I believe that's probably your best DX antenna. But if you want to talk to folks in the States, that's not the way to go.
Okay. Well, thank you for your answers. And now, Mr. Bob Heil, welcome back. How are you, Bob? Are you there for me?
I'm here. Yep. Everything okay. is happening, and we're glad to be back. And I heard all day that was about 3 o'clock or so. I heard Dave a little bit there on the broadcaster's net, so it looks like everything's happening out of your station. And glad that I am returned. Before you get started, I want to know if anybody knows all about this shirt. This shirt comes to me from my distributor in the UK, which is Waters and Stanton. They're a great distributor over there. And this shirt has a lot of meaning to me, so they thought they better get it to me. So here it is, and it's talking about old guys rule. However, the rest of it's the most important, talking about my generation. Oh, wow. This is really a shirt about The Who. And most people know I was with The Who for over 6 years doing all of their audio and very proud to be a big part of Quadrophenia, designing the quad system, first one. And that's what's in the Rock Hall, by the way, if anybody gets to go by there. So they were wonderful to be working with and remain great friends, Peter and Roger. They're just great people. So we're really, really honored and blessed to be a part of that entire Who organization for all those many years. And that's what this shirt's all about. And thanks to Waters and Stanton for it. So there you go, Cheryl. We'll answer my own question about that.
Oh, super. But could you do me one favor and pull the microphone away from your chest and let's just see that one more time? If you could get just a little closer to do it a little bit of justice. Move forward just a little bit, Bob. Can you come forward? I want to see that. Yeah, for the camera. Very nice. Oh, much better. Oh, yeah, that is real nice. Awesome. Well, thank you. Old guys rule. Yay.
Is,
nice.
Well, that right, is the logo of The Who. If you know much about logos, that's the logo of The Who. So they put it
very
all together.
Cool.
Kind of cute.
Very cool. It is. You know, there's a question on speakers that came in here from also Kenny Johns. He says, how does the voice frequency range respond to various speakers differently? I know that might not be exactly worded correctly, but I think you got the gist of it. How does the voice frequency range respond to various speakers differently? That's how he put it. So but for you, Bob.
What do you mean? Voice? No, speakers should be pretty much flat in response. They shouldn't be doing anything more than that. If they're flat across the range. So many speakers are not. They got big old woofers in there. Isn't it cool to have a bunch of bass? Well, maybe, but you have to have the balance of the highs also. So voices won't do any different if the speaker remains flat in response. Then you will hear everything, or at least you should.
Okay, great. And Bob, I have another one from KD0COR. He says, do you sell a mic that matches the high impedance of the old transmitters one, like the JT-30? Bob.
Well, it's very difficult today to buy or find any kind of high impedance microphone, but that's not the way to do it. We ran into this years and years ago because, as you know, all of my first love back here, what do you do to get low impedance microphones into those rigs? So I built my own transformer. Radio Shack had some, but they roll off at about 500 cycles, so that's not good. And Jensen and Hammond, they build great transformers, but they're $100 or so. So we developed the little XT1, and it's a high impedance to low impedance matching transformer. Works either way. I mount them. Actually, I've got one mounted behind this panel in a little box. So no matter which low impedance mic I plug in here, it comes out as high impedance because it goes through that transformer. It works great. And it's wonderful, and it's helped hundreds and hundreds of us old cats that love high impedance inputs, and you can use our low impedance microphones with it, XT1, and it's really fun. I think it's only about $15, and all the dealers have them, so check some of the dealers. You'll find them.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Bob. And as I asked you to stand or move forward. So I'm going to do this with this shirt. I just want to say to Laura, thank you so much. I just think it's so cute here. And, you know, I wanted to also ask you to the TWIT Council, if you are able to do this for me, while I talk about the after show QSO, if you could please pan or zoom in on this beautiful display, the waterfall. David has changed it right now. I don't know if you have the capability to just zoom in on this ICOM 7800. This is the new firmware upgrade, just one of the many facets that are there for everybody, but there it is. And please join me on the after show QSO for Ham Nation tonight on 75 meters. I'll be there as your hostess at the microphone on 3.847 megahertz, 75 meters. Please come on in and join me. Until next time, I'm Cheryl Lessig, K9BAK 73, y'all. I'll see you right here on Ham Nation.
That's super. The only, probably the only lady, Gordo, that has her own personal engineer. Did you know that?
I was watching that. Very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Twit. Ryan.
Oh, that's great. Well, we appreciate all of you being with us tonight, and we'll do this again next week, only I won't be here. Ivy's in Cleveland area, Talmadge, Ohio, at DX Engineering with Tim Duffy and all that wonderful new store up there. So we'll talk to you from there, and who knows where we are the next week, but thanks very much for all of you to tuning in. Please tell your friends about Ham Nation. The replays are there 24/7. I have a lot of guys I talk to and say, oh, yeah, I missed it this week. Well, you don't have to miss it. You just put Ham Nation into Google, and you see all 125 programs. So check it out. And once you go to that page, as you see on the screen right now, you get them all. But if you go up to the top when you first when it first pops up, you'll see that little red arrow. It says Watch Live. And if you do that at any time, you'll watch what is live on TWIT. And there are so many great programs on TWIT, Ham Nation being just one of them. So there you go. And be sure and pay attention to Stamps.com, DX Engineering, Ting, and, of course, ICOM. These are the people that keep this on the air. So please take care of all those people and check it out when you go to select your next product. Thanks very much, and we will see you all next week right here. Same place, and maybe throughout the week you can watch the replays. And as we dive off into the abyss here, you're going to be hearing WB6ACU in his great guitar work playing the theme from Ham Nation for all of you that tune us in on the podcast and, of course, on the replays. Thanks a lot, everybody. From Pleasant Hope, Missouri, that's near Springfield, this is K9EID. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.